Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
We are here in Grafton Street and we're celebrating Three's Grants for Small Businesses programme for 24. And many independent businesses have left Grafton Street in recent years with large chains replacing them. This is a major contributing factor which has led to changes felt by many in recent years on Dublin's most famous shopping street. Delighted to be joined now by Frank MacDonald. He's a Dublin author, journalist and former environmental editor with the Irish Times. You're very welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Bobby.
Also delighted to be joined by Dorina McCarthy of Cornucopia. You're very welcome, Dorina. Damien Byrne of the Camera Centre has come a very long way, all of, I'd say, about 50 yards from across the street to join us. Damien, you're welcome.
Good afternoon.
And I'm also delighted to welcome Mark Smith, the store manager with Great Outdoors, just over on Chatham Street. So these are people who know the city well. Frank, I want to start with you. Maybe we might look at the history of Grafton Street. It's been here since God's own time. It's played a central role in city life over the centuries. It was pedestrianised, I think, in the early 80s, 84, 85. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
1970s, and then they repaved it during the Dublin Millennium in 1988.
88, was it when it was repaved?
That was when it was repaved. It's since been repaved again.
It was pedestrianised in 1982.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose, really looking at Grafton Street today, I mean, it really is no longer the kind of the wonderland that was mentioned in Noel Pearson's great song, you know, Dublin Can Be Heaven. And one of the reasons for that is because it has really lost, over the past 50 years or so, many of the indigenous, independent Dublin businesses that really gave it character and diversity and interest in the past. And making way for basically, you know, fashion chain stores, phone shops like this one. This actually used to be the Eblana bookshop in the past, yeah. Where we are now, and also fast food outlets. And, you know, I have a list of some of the things that the street has lost in the past 50 years. Well, Combridge's Fine Art and Books. Older listeners would remember this. Dixon and Hemp and Stalls. The Eblana Bookshop, as I mentioned. Louis Wine Antiques. Robert Roberts Cafe. Jonathan's Restaurant. McConnell's Fishmongers. Leading Menswear Shop. FX Kelly, that was just next door. The Grafton Cinema, where we used to, as kids, watch Tom and Jerry cartoons and so on. And of the 90 or so businesses that are trading on the street, I would say that less than 20 of the original ones have survived so far.
Well, I accept, but like, times do change, Frank, and we have to move. I worked on this street for over 30 years, so I know every building on it, and I know many of the businesses that you referred to. I worked in Bewley's in number 79 for a good number of years. And when I was there, there was only Bewley's and Weir's were the last of the two family businesses. But the fundamental thing here, it comes back to property values.
Yes, exactly.
At the end of the day, when I was in Bewley's in the early 90s, the rent on the building was 300 grand.
Yeah.
It's now 1.5 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the values, you know, this, are what
of course,
driven
I mean,
the
this is out. This is what has driven the change in Grafton Street. Is that the property investors and the pension funds and insurance companies who own the buildings are looking for top dollar rents. And, you know, before Bewley's sells a single cup of coffee or a sticky bun, it has to put aside 1.5 million to pay the rent to Johnny Ronan.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Weir's are very lucky because they own their own buildings, so they don't have to pay any rent, not a cent in rent to anybody. And, you know, at the height of the Celtic Tiger boom, incredibly, Grafton Street was right up there with some of the most expensive retail streets in the world. The Champs-Élysées in Paris, New York's Fifth Avenue, Oxford Street in London. I think Grafton Street was number five, just after Causeway Bay in Hong Kong. I mean, you know, we had literally lost the run of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why. And the fashion multiples are the only people who can actually afford to pay the rent.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to get too dark because I want to talk to some businesses that are trading here in the street. And my first guest is Doreena McCafferty, owner of Cornucopia, just off Grafton Street. Doreena, yourself and your mum, Deirdre, it's a business that's been around, again, a long time. You've worked hard. You've produced great food over the years. Tell me a little bit about your experience on the Grafton Street area and retail in this part of the city.
Thank you, Bobby, for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're lovely to have you.
Yeah, my parents started Cornucopia in 1986, so we've seen the changes of the city. So there's old photographs of Cornucopia. You can see the cars parked on the road and all the different businesses that have changed. And we're lucky to have still fought our way that we're still here. So because we're slightly off Grafton Street, I always thought Wicklow Street had a little bit more diversity in terms of small businesses.
Yeah.
But we rent our two buildings. So every 5 years we have a rent review. And unfortunately, for a long time, that was upward only. So since the pandemic, we've seen a 20% decrease in footfall. And your only option then is to put up your prices or reduce your staff costs.
Can I ask you your experience of the upwardly only rent reviews being banned? So they're theoretically, at least, rents can now come down. But that's not the experience.
I've never... Please, if someone knows of a rent that has come down in the city centre, please let me know for my next rent review. But
I think Hugo Boss got a reduction of 20%.
Wow, did they? Recently, yeah, and I know that Bewley's are in argument. They're bringing their landlord to court to bring their rent down. We rent one building from a private landlord that has changed hands 3 times since I've been running the business. And now and the Dublin City Council rent the other building.
Yeah.
So it's market rent. It's changed now. So it used to be upward only. Now it's market rent, which just depends on who is willing to pay that market rent.
I know.
And as a family business, we don't have, there's no other Cornucopia in the world. We are battling against big chains. My mother, Deirdre, always joked Cornucopia would make a nice Starbucks one day. And that's what we're fighting against.
No.
I know. And that's what it doesn't matter to people. Yeah.
Doreena, you mentioned something in your notes, which I just thought was worth probing. You mentioned that in Paris, the state actually buys properties on Premier Street, like the Champs-Élysées, and rent it back.
Too small independent businesses. Yeah.
Now that's something we should be exploring.
Like I said, from one of our buildings being rented by Dublin City Council, they should support small businesses. They have a lot of property in the area, and once again, it's market rent. But I was thinking about when I visit a city, what I remember about the city. So, like, there used to be this small toy shop in Galway Main Street called the Wooden Heart, and I don't remember going to Galway and going to H&M, going to Zara. I remember going to small independent businesses.
Exactly.
And if we don't invest in keeping these small independent businesses, it is just going to be big chains.
Sure.
And you could be in any city in the world. You could walk...
It's
not what we want. Yeah.
Okay, stay with us. Let's bring in Mark Smith. He's the store manager, again, on a business just off Grafton Street. Great Outdoors. Mark, tell us a little bit about you and your business, if you would, first.
Thanks very much for having me on. I suppose the Great Outdoors, we actually recently... Well, in 2019, we moved to South Great Georgia Street. So we moved a little bit away from the street to a large, new, beautiful premises, which has been great. And then obviously the pandemic hit straight away, which knocked us back pretty quickly. But again, as an independent business, we've been around Dublin City Centre since 1976, nearly hitting 50 years now, which is great. I suppose we found that, you know, trading in the city centre, it's just the cost of business is just spiralling up, whether it's rent or rates or staffing costs. And we as a business try to absorb as much as we can and not push it onto our customers. So it means that, you know, staffing costs have to be pulled back in, our expenses have to be pulled back in as much as possible.
And how important is, you know, the location when you talk about people coming over the door? Like if you were in a warehouse out in the M50, you're not going to have the people passing, the retail consumers passing your door. So there's an advantage to being in town
As long as the footfall is here. Like, as Doreena said, we're down about 20% in our footfall. And as a business, we are, at Great Outdoors, committed to the city centre. We always have been and we always will be. You know, we are a destination store and, you know, we want customers to come into the city centre, experience the city. You know, the city is a beautiful place to be. You know, on a sunny day, with the atmosphere, you could be anywhere in the world, and we want people to come into the city as much as possible.
Okay, stay with us. Our next guest is Damien Byrne. He's 40 years working on this street. He's the manager at the Camera Centre, just across the road from us here at the top end of Grafton Street. Damien, you're very welcome to the programme. Sorry it's taken me a while to get to you.
No problem at all.
You've, as I said, you've earned your stripes on this street. You know it well. You know every living, breathing soul that's on it. Your business in the camera shop, how have you had to change what you offer to reflect, I suppose, the changing needs of today's consumer?
Well, our industry has changed over the last 20, 30 years, going from film into digital, and there's a resurgence back in film. So again, we go with sort of world trends.
Yeah.
Dublin has changed itself, and has had to change. We're gladly we're a melting pot of different nationalities living here, and we cater to everybody's needs. I think that there's still a lot of positivity about the Dublin City Centre. It's a fabulous place to come once you have a decent weather. What better day can you spend going into town, do a little bit of shopping, have a lunch, have a pint? Over the last couple of weeks, we've had great things in the city with the concerts going on,
yeah,
the American football, great spirit within the city.
How important is the tourist, Damien, to your business in terms of...
Yeah, very, very
like
important.
We get a lot of tourists in the city centre.
Yeah, of course it is.
And I suppose with less people working in the city, the tourist almost becomes more important.
Well, that's been a huge problem with less people working in the city. And people going into offices 1 or 2 days a week. That has, for us, killed things like late night shopping is a thing of the past for us, and it's just not worth keeping staff back because the public aren't there. And even at a Christmas time, it's very, very small. So if we could get more people back into the city, I think it will grow the life back into the city. But tourists coming in, very, very important,
yeah,
be it from North America or, again, UK, where we can offer tax-free reductions,
yeah,
to our UK family. So it's good in that way. So it's just exploring different areas and growing the business. But I would say that there's a lot of positivity within this in the city. It just needs to be grown and a little bit more attention.
Frank, the city changed around COVID time. Not all of it for the better. We had a hollowing out of sorts. A lot of retail problems are generally solved by footfall, by having people there. And if there's a lack of people and the void is filled by antisocial behaviour, rubbish, just a place that becomes all of a sudden unpleasant. It has a great effect on the livelihood of the people around
this
table.
Absolutely.
So I mean, what do you say to that?
I lived in Dublin City Centre during the lockdown, during the pandemic, and really it was really completely surreal. There was nobody around at all. And I think we became conscious of the fact that you know, we had thought that, for example, in Temple Bar, that there were 2,000 people living there. But in fact, a lot of the apartments by then had been turned over to tourist shortlets.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think one of the most important things that we need to do as a city is to say there should be a doubling of the population of, yeah, the inner city itself. And that whole core area between the two canals. I mean, you know, if you walk down any street in Dublin, including Grafton Street, and look up, the upper floors are largely underused or even vacant. We need to convert buildings, yeah, into apartments that people can live in so that there will be eyes on the street, so that there will be an indigenous community within the city centre that will help to sustain the businesses that are here.
And that's been talked about for decades.
It has, yeah, but try and make it happen. Let's,
yeah,
try and make it happen. And if there are obstacles standing in the way of that, let's get rid of the obstacles.
Yeah.
Again, there's not a lot of the places on Grafton Street don't have independent access to,
yeah,
those.
Well, let's create independent access to the upper
floors. We're talking
about
very, very narrow buildings. Again, we're talking about rubbish. I take that on board, but there's an awful lot that are.
I think what we noticed, because we are upper floors are vacant, vacant in our two buildings is the fire regulations. And like our landlord would love, but the red tape is too much, and it's about bringing people into the city. Yeah. And I got criticised that I was saying that people weren't living in the city centre, but it's the south inner city centre. The north has a huge population of people living in it, but at the south inner city, all these buildings are vacant at the top, and a lot of the roofs are very, you know, they need a lot of investment. Our building is from the 1700s. Yeah. So if you can imagine the amount of investment that goes into these buildings. We also have, our lease means that we have to do everything to the building. We have to put a new roof on it. We have, you know, everything. People don't understand how much investment these buildings need to keep these businesses running.
Mark, what about things like the cleanliness of the city? Again, it needs to be a place where people want to come in because it's clean, it's safe. I know recently that, and it's probably a good thing, that at a high level, that you're not allowed to put plastic bags out anymore. I was down in Temple Bar, Frank, last week. I came out of a restaurant and there was 50 seagulls feeding on these black bags. This is at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Seagulls going around the place like Rambo.
Oh, no. And I was just thinking that like in this day and age, that we need to be thinking beyond that. Now, I do accept that, you know, you're a retailer, you have rubbish at the end of the day. Where do you put it?
I think Key Waste now have started doing daytime pickups. That's what I realised during the city because our neighbours, Louis Copeland, were complaining about the smell of the bin trucks coming on the road. So it's always give and take with these problems.
Well, that's what I thought. We put out our rubbish in the evening. It's normally collected after trading hours. But again, I thought to myself, Grafton Street has deliveries up to 11 o'clock every morning. Why don't we put out our rubbish and let the bin truck, when there's very few people on the street at that stage, it's mainly deliveries. So it's not the eyesore that everybody's talking about. Put it out at 9 o'clock and have the rubbish collected out of the city between 9 and 10 and still let our delivery drivers in.
You have to remember, Bobby, that every retailer in the city centre is paying enormous sums of money to Dublin City Council in rates, in commercial rates.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd have to ask, are they getting any real value for that? And I'm thinking of, you know, there were about 2015, I think it was, Grafton Street was repaved. That cost €4 million. That was a very significant investment by the city. But if you look at the top of Grafton Street, that area is covered in a kind of a temporary resin surface, which, you know, that awful beige colour that you see on also in Castle Market and so on, this kind of stuff really needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it. Let's improve the standard of the presentation of the city so that people will find it more attractive to come into.
Yeah, and it's almost really frustrating as a business to have all these tsunami of things coming against you. And, you know, the punter just rocks up and is quite happy to support some chain business that comes from wherever.
Like Insomnia.
Irish owned.
Indeed, so.
And still, yes. Yeah. And no, I'm no longer part of it, but I'll take it on the chin, Frank. I don't mind. But
you had direct experience.
Well, I've also. Well, that's what I feel. Yeah. I don't want to lecture anybody, but I know the city centre. I know what it's like to work in it. And I share the concerns of our guests here this morning that it's really tough to make a business. And the sad bit is for me is that, you know, the next thing is that these businesses close.
Yeah.
And what are we left with?
Well, we've already seen restaurant closures. Dylan McGrath, Brasserie 66 is gone. Rustic Stone is gone. Ukio in Exchequer Street is gone. I mean, how many more are going to close because it's no longer profitable? And in fact, the guy who owned Ukio, he actually said, he pleaded with people, if you're thinking of setting up a restaurant, you're out of your mind because the sums don't no longer stack up.
One thing I wanted to say about minimum wage increases is that no employer ever wants to resent your staff being paid more. That's not what it's about. So one thing that the government could look at is the PRSI that the employers pay so that we can up people's salaries without it affecting the business too much.
And that's
not just the 9% VAT rate that they're calling for restaurants. That's all employers.
Yeah. Here, here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I want to end on a positive note because I want to be positive about Grafton Street, about the city, because it really is a wonderful place to work, to enjoy and to trade. So long may that continue, and let's hope that we get over this impasse of maybe just call them short-term challenges, because if there's a will, there's a way, and we need Grafton Street to keep being the lifeblood of retail and energy that this city, this great city, delivers. Thanks to my guests, Frank McDonald, Doreena McCafferty, Damien Byrne and Mark Smith. Thank you all indeed.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.